This is Emory University Sound Science, conversations on transforming health and healing. Coming up on Sound Science, Paul Root-Wolpe discusses the ethical issues surrounding organ donation, transplantation, and clinical trials. Wolpe is the director of the Emory Center for Ethics.
One of the things that we do in our bioethics program is teach research ethics. There are many, many ethical challenges in research that, especially clinical research on human beings, very, very sensitive area. You are asking people to donate their bodies temporarily to science, and that request of people, as I always try to tell scientists, is not something that anyone owes you. It is something for which you should be deeply and profoundly grateful.
Researchers are therefore obliged to design a clinical study that is both scientifically sound and ethical. Informed consent is a key component of clinical trials.
But the question is, are they truly informed? And if you ask different people about what kind of information is relevant to particular kinds of studies, very often there are strong differences. You have two pieces of informed consent, the informed piece and the consent piece. The informed piece is, what information do you give people and do they understand it?
It should be noted that language contained in consents is dictated both by specific federal regulations and by an institutional review board, or IRB. In fact, the IRB is charged with deciding the consent's final language. Likewise, says Wolpe, it's important that people truly understand the facts and ethical issues surrounding organ transplants.
There are many, many people that really believe that if they sign this card, then when they're in that accident, no one will try to revive them because they want their organs. That's a total misunderstanding of how the system works and a misunderstanding of what actually happens in emergency rooms.
Even if an organ is available, other ethical questions remain. How is the distribution of organs established? How do physicians determine when a person is considered dead so they can begin transferring organs to a recipient? Is a person considered dead when the heart ceases to beat or when the brain stops functioning?
Transplants as an ethical problem are one of the favorites of ethicists, both in writing and in teaching, because there are a lot of very, very interesting and stark questions about transplants.
Yeah. One of those questions involves the dwindling availability of organs. Because of motorcycle helmet laws and the increasing safety of cars, fewer people are dying in accidents.
This becomes a great problem in terms of how you allocate organs, which has always been an issue, through to how you get people to donate more. In this country, we have an opt-in system. In some countries, they have an opt-out system where they assume you're an organ donor unless you say you don't want to be.
So researchers are trying to solve this ethical and practical issue by creating artificial organs.
At this point, there are no artificial organs that replace transplantable organs. The transplantable organs, kidneys, hearts, lungs, lens of the eye, these are organs none of which we have a really functional artificial version of.
Clearly, there is no shortage of ethical questions involving biomedical research, and what may be a hot ethical issue one day may fade from view depending on technological advances. Yet one principle will hold true over the long haul, says Wolpe.
For research ethics, I think, you know, the most important thing to remember is only real barrier or safeguard against research ethics violations is the investigator. If the investigator isn't sensitive to and concerned about the safety of his or her subjects, there's nothing the IRB or anyone else can do to protect them. And that's why it's so important that we train our investigators properly and that they understand the level of responsibility that they are assuming when they agree to take subjects on in research.
I'm Robin Tricolis, and this is Emory University's Sound Science.